This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning from WSMI FM 106, now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. We'll take a look at your grain futures on the Board of Trade that were mixed on Wednesday. Corn for December was up 3 1/4 to 371 1/4. March corn was up 2 1/2 to 382 1/2. May corn was up 2 to 390 1/4. Soybeans for November were down 5 to 888 3/4. January beans were also down 5 to 902 1/4. March beans were down 4 1/4 to 915 1/4. Moving on to Chicago wheat, December contract was up 5 1/4 on Wednesday to 489 1/2. March wheat was up 5 to 495 3/4. May wheat was up 4 3/4 to $5 even. Soybean meal was down 250 to 291.60. December bean meal was down 240 to 295.40. January bean meal was down 230 to 297.20. Finally, soybean oil for October was up 2 pennies to 29.87. December bean oil was up a penny to $30. January bean oil was also up a penny to 30.22. So to recap your closing grain futures from Wednesday, corn was up 2 to 3, beans were down 4 to 5, wheat was up 4 to 5, soybean meal was down 230 to 250, soybean oil was up 1 to 2 cents. Now I'll move on and take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and turn prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon, with soybeans suffering from a lack of demand and abundance of supply. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 to 6 cents at 323 to 366. Soy bids were down 4 to 5 cents at 814 to 834. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 2 to 6 cents at 349 to 369, while soybean bids were down 4 to 5 cents at 823 to 869. And in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 4 cents at 313 to 387. Soybean bids were down 5 cents at 806 to 849. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 3 to 5 cents lower at 847 to 874. Basis was steadied up to at 4200 to 1500 in November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 276.60 to 294.60 a ton, down $2.50. to $3.50 a ton, with basis unchanged to down one at 1500 to 3 over the October. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were up 3 cents at 371 to 386, with basis steady at option to 15 over the December. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids up 3 to 5 cents at 345 to 371, with basis unchanged to up to at 2600 to option to December. Soybeans ended down 3 to 5 cents at 837 to 844, with basis unchanged to up to at 5200 to 4500 in November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal is placed there. Producer corn bids up 3 to 4 cents at 359 to 360. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 5 to 6 cents. Quotations at 853 to 855. Soft wheat closed down 6 cents at 491 to 492. And Milo ended the day up 3 cents at 355 to 356. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 328 to 362, soybeans at 813 to 849. And in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 345 to 369, soybeans at 823 to 874. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 313 to 382, soybeans at 806 to 850, and June-July wheat at 469 to 499. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now to your livestock futures from Wednesday that were higher across the board on the Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle were up $1.02 to $137. December live cattle were up $0.85 to $106.15. February live cattle were up $0.60 to $112.37. Feeder cattle for September were up 70 to 139.87. October feeders finished $1.10 higher to 138.40. November feeders were up $1.25 to 136.30. Finally, lean hogs for October gained 82 cents on Wednesday to 62.92. December lean hogs gained 12 to 67.80. February lean hogs gained $1.27 to 74.82. So to recap your livestock futures from Wednesday, live cattle gained 60 cents to $1.02. Feeder cattle gained 70 cents to $1.25. Lean hogs gained 12 cents to $1.27. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 29 cents lower in a range of $41 to $46, with a weighted average carcass price of $44.80. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were $3 lower, with light to moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $15 to $18, 4 to 5 weighed at $16 to $21, 5 to 6 weighed at $18 to $24, over 600 pounds at $20 to $26. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gilts at the country buying points were firm, with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $25 to $31. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gilts have totaled $20,849. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, heifers on a dress basis traded at $160. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 380 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $68.11, which was 10 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $218.24, which was $153 lower. Select carcasses at $191.97, which was $194 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 116,000, compared to 117,000 for last week and 120,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 488,000. Compared to 487,000 last week and 436,000 for one year ago. A recap of the Greenville Livestock Auction for Wednesday, September 18th. 544 total receipts. Compared to last week, slaughter steers sold a dollar higher. Slaughter heifers sold $3 higher. Slaughter dairy steers sold a dollar and a quarter higher. Choice steers ranged 99 to 105. Choice dairy steers ranged $80 to $87. Choice heifers at $99 to $105. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Thursday morning. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. By CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. By the Litchfield National Bank. And by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in Ag News for a Thursday, an initial trade agreement with Japan announced by the President this week will end tariff disparities for U.S. ag producers with competitors, formerly U.S. partners, in the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal. President Trump notified Congress of the preliminary trade deal with Japan this week, and Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley says U.S. Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer told him the deal levels Japan tariffs with former TPP competitors. Lighthizer had this to say at a House trade hearing in June.
Because they entered into TPP and a separate agreement with Europe, we are going to be in a position where we're treated worse than our competitors. So it's a big, big problem.
A problem National Pork Producers Trade Chief Nick Giordano pointed to while talking with reporters, referencing the displacement called the Comprehensive and Progressive TPP.
If we've got the CPTPP nations in the EU with preferential trade with Japan, it's just economic logic that producers in this country, even though we've had the lowest cost of production, are going to start thinking about moving outside the United States. That's just how economics works.
Ambassador Lighthizer tried since June to solve the growing tariff problem.
We understand the nature of this problem, and we have to resolve it, because if we don't, these farmers are going to lose that market because Japan gave more access to somebody else, and they may never get those markets back.
Finance Chair Grassley told farm reporters this week that the Japan deal makes up about 90% of what the U.S. lost by pulling out of the TPP. Farmers and ranchers are being denied due process as part of an abuse of discretion by officials from the National Resources Conservation Service. That comes straight from a scathing ruling by the Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals. The ruling is highlighted in a letter sent from the American Farm Bureau Federation to Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, asking him to enact much-needed reforms in the agency. The letter focuses on the case of an Indiana farm owned by David and Rita Boucher. The battle between the Boucher family and the NRCS has gone on for 17 years. The Bouchers removed 9 trees on a 2 3/4 acres that the agency declared a wetland, and the NRCS demanded that they plant 300 trees per acre as compensation. The court found that the NRCS wrongly accused the Bouchers of harming a non-existent wetland on their property. The NRCS made no effort to correct the decision, even after the accusations were proven to be groundless. The Farm Bureau letter notes that the Bouchers aren't the only victim of regulatory abuse. AFBF is asking Secretary Perdue to accept the Seventh Circuit decision and compensate the family for costs incurred during the battle against the government. In international ag news, South Korea has joined 8 other Asian nations with African swine fever. The National Pork Board Director of Swine Health Programs, Dr. Patrick Webb, outlines the latest cases.
African swine fever continues to spread, and now we are getting reports out of South Korea, that they indeed have 2 cases of African swine fever on pig farms in the northern part of South Korea, just right up on the border with North Korea, which we already knew was positive. So this is concerning for our friends in Korea.
With the discovery of these new positive ASF cases in South Korea, it ramps up the importance of prevention here in the United States.
Well, for our pork producers out there, prevention is number one. We have got to focus on biosecurity, and that is making sure that we harden our target here in the United States and making sure that our farms are as secure as they can be. So producers can learn a lot at pork.org/FAD, and they can also learn more about what's going on at factsaboutpork.com. And as always, we want to push folks over to the Secure Pork Supply, our securepork.org website as well, to take a look at different opportunities for enhancing biosecurity today. You know, it all really boils down to we're learning to live with ASF in Asia. It's going to be there. It's going to be tough to root out. And so we got to double down on prevention, and that's really where we need to focus.
In the next Pork Checkoff Report, Webb will discuss the prevention protocols in place within the United States. Moving on, in other livestock news, the World Dairy Expo is less than 2 weeks away. It'll be held on October 1st through the 5th in Madison, Wisconsin. General Manager Scott Bentley says about 65,000 people from 100 countries will return this year.
They bring an international perspective to this world-class dairy event, and we're trying to enhance the networking opportunities for attendees, the socialization opportunities for the attendees, because repeatedly in our surveys with attendees and participants, that's the one thing that they bring forward, is to provide a hospitable experience for everyone who's on the grounds that week.
The theme for this year's expo is Tools for Dairy's Progress, and Bentley says there is a lot to learn about the dairy industry.
The Knowledge Nook is a library of resources that will help our attendees on their operations. We will have 5 sessions per day from 9:30 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon, all 5 days of expo. That's in the atrium of the exhibition hall, right outside of the virtual farm tours and seminar speaker location. So we think that's going to really enhance the educational experience.
He also says that new this year is a free app to customize your visit.
We have introduced a new mobile event app for the 2019 World Dairy Expo. That's available. So you can download that now, and whether they're in person or if you're remoting in, you can customize your World Dairy Expo learning experience to have a more effective and efficient week.
More details can be found at their website, worlddairyexpo.com. In another news story about livestock, a new Missouri law that shields large farms from local health regulations is now in effect, but opponents say the fight is far from over. Cole County Judge Daniel Green earlier this month set aside a temporary restraining order that was imposed days earlier. A lawsuit over the law is proceeding, with the next court hearing scheduled for December 9th. The law prevents Missouri counties from passing health regulations that are stricter than state laws governing large farms that raise hogs, poultry, and cattle. The industrial farms are known as concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. The large farms can produce meat, dairy, and eggs more efficiently than traditional farms, but often stoke concerns about air and water pollution. The lawsuit aimed at retaining local regulatory control was filed in August on behalf of two counties and cattle farmers such as Jeff Jones, whose family has farmed in Callaway County for four generations. The state laws are not stringent enough, says Jones, 52. They don't hold accountability to these CAFOs. Supporters of CAFOs say some local governments that are unfriendly to industrial farms threaten to regulate them out of existence. At least 20 Missouri counties have imposed additional regulations and fees on animal feeding operations through health ordinances, according to data from the University of Missouri Extension. Another 9 counties and townships enacted zoning regulations. Republican Governor Mark Parsons supports the new law. Parsons spokeswoman Kelly Jones said in a statement that the measure will open doors for Missouri farm and ranch families to meet growing world food demand and ensure Missouri keeps more agricultural production in their state. Parsons is named in the suit, along with the Missouri Clean Water Commission and the Missouri Air Conservation Commission, and groups representing farm interests such as the Missouri Farm Bureau, the Missouri Pork Association, and the Missouri Cattlemen's Association. Moving on now into the latest news about grain. The National Corn Growers Association staff, Missouri State staff, and grower leaders had the opportunity to participate in a river collaboration trip in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Mississippi River St. Louis District. They traveled from Lock and Dam 22 just south of Hannibal, nearly 60 miles south down the Mississippi, to Lock and Dam 25 at Granite City. NCGA Manager of Market Development Michael Granch says the trip provided to be really valuable to those on the tour.
One of the really awesome kind of takeaways for us was, or at least for myself, is truthfully, I really didn't have a full understanding of how much the Army Corps of Engineers does, you know, in maintaining the rivers. I know when I came into it, I just kind of thought that they were solely involved in, you know, infrastructure and management and fixing some of those infrastructures as the need arises. But they are so involved with, you know, the sustainable management of the Mississippi River, and that goes so far beyond just infrastructure.
Granch credits the Army Corps for the work it does in keeping river traffic moving.
We went through pretty smoothly, but certainly, you know, for the technology being as aged as it is, a lot has happened in terms of engineering since the early 1900s. And so certainly there's room for improvement, but that being said, there are so many talented men and women who, you know, who are responsible for keeping the locks and dams, you know, in working manageable order, so that, of course, we as society can still utilize the tool that is the Mississippi River.
During the trip, participants heard about several initiatives pertaining to inland waterways, including floodplain prioritization, species management, and water quality monitoring.
Before this trip with the River Resource Action Team, with the Corps, I mean, that's something that I had never considered. That's something that I would have never thought about. But of course, you know, all these organisms have played their own role, their own niche role within the ecosystems. And I'm really glad that they're focusing on sustainability. And, you know, of course, here with National Corn, you know, we're also committed to sustainability.
Granch says the tour gave NCGA some valuable knowledge in terms of market development, but there was more.
I think one of the other really interesting things here was because this gave us such a different perspective, you know, when looking at the ecosystem and a lot of the content really emphasized around sustainability, it kind of gives us this really cool opportunity for ag to work with non-traditional partners to address floodplain prioritization and infrastructure improvements and levee management along the river to, you know, help reduce losses. And so these are all really, you know, valuable areas for us to invest time and energy into.
Granch notes that Lock and Dam 24 was shut down for repair, and the group noticed the various barges waiting for an unknown amount of time. He says this obviously is a major economic loss as well as loss of efficiency. There's an estimated $83 million lost every 5 years due to barge delays, and this illustrates the value of prioritizing investments in our aging infrastructure. The River Tour was put on by the River Resources Action Team, a partnership between the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, and the Missouri Department of Conservation. Moving on into other news, every year since 1944, the third week of September has been set aside as National Farm Safety and Health Week. This year's theme is Shift Farm Safety into High Gear. Diane Campa is the Center Coordinator and Outreach Program Director for the Upper Midwest Agricultural Safety and Health Center in Minneapolis. She says it's no coincidence that National Farm Safety and Health Week takes place every year just before the busy harvest season.
Absolutely, and we really want people to shift their mindset. They're shifting into high gear to do all the work that needs to be done, and we want to shift that mindset also into doing it all safely. During Farm Safety and Health Week, there's actually daily themes, and tractor safety and rural roadway safety are a big topic that we really focused on.
Campa says tractor safety is paramount, especially during harvest season, because farmers spend so much time using their tractors.
Well, one thing that they can do is to make sure that their lighting is correct and that they have the right kind of slow-moving vehicle emblems on their tractors. They have to make themselves very visible. You know, you want to not have any extra riders or people on those vehicles. It's dangerous enough as it is, and we don't need to put other people in harm's way.
It's also a good idea for farmers to give their tractors the good once-over, just to make sure they're ready and able to be out during harvest season. One of the most important reminders the center publishes during Farm Safety Week is to keep children safe on the farm.
A big part of that is making sure to keep kids safe. You know, the farm operation is where people live and work, and those young people are really sometimes just a little bit too curious and used to being out and around and sometimes can be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we don't want that to happen. One of them is keeping those kids off of a tractor when possible. It's a great lifelong tradition, but we have seen so many injuries with kids and tractors that we really want parents to think about being parents first and then making those special moments in different ways on the farm.
Grain bin safety is another key during the rush of harvest season. Campa says it's not worth taking shortcuts in order to save time working in and around a grain bin.
It's not. It absolutely is not. We don't want anybody doing that job by themselves. It's very important to have the right kind of harnesses and safety equipment when anybody has to be working around a bin with someone else. And also the lockout tagout to make sure that you can lock out the electrical connections to any kind of equipment that might be operating in that grain bin.
One of the most dangerous parts of a dangerous profession like farming is a spinning power takeoff. She says PTO accidents can happen in the blink of an eye.
Absolutely. The reaction time, people just have very little understanding of how fast that can happen and what you need to do and how valuable keeping that guard is to not take that shortcut, keep the guard in place, walk around the tractor, make sure that is the standard of practice for anybody working with that equipment on the farm.
Campa says the most important thing farmers can do to promote safety is take care of themselves, both physically and mentally. Farmer fatigue when operating machinery can cause accidents quickly. Get enough rest, make sure you get enough food, and get off the tractor once in a while to refresh yourself. And moving on into state ag news, Illinois State Police Trooper Tracy Lillard is keeping an eye on speed during National Farm Safety and Health Week, and she's using some examples as well.
I can share our record. Our record in the former district that I was in was District 10, and not that I like to share so much that the speeder can be like, yeah, that was the record. It's more so for the motorists that are out there on the road sharing these roads. So the corn was up. It was in August. It was approximately 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, and the driver was traveling at 161 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour country road. Country road with the corn up, 161 and a 55. And so what the reason I share that information so much so at presentations, on radio, on the internet, is because I want the motorists that are out there traveling to understand the gravity of speed. And so you don't have to be the speeder to be the one that is killed by speed itself. Speed is our number one killer. And when the corn is up like that, you can't see. And now particularly at harvest, we're going to be having farmers, you know, moving their tractors from field to field. Semis are going to be traveling at a slow rate because they have, you know, corn or beans loaded up in them. And we've got motorists that are speeding, and that can be absolutely deadly out there.
Lillard now oversees all social media for the Illinois State Police. In another state ag story, ADM Milling President Kevin Like says 30 to 40 jobs have been created or transferred to the new flour mill in Mendota, where he and other ADM managers held a ribbon cutting on Wednesday. Like says it's not often a company gets to build a new mill from the ground up. The Mendota mill has the latest technology for watching everything important.
We are tracking the trailers and the trucks with RFID technology so that we know that we're putting the right truck on the right trailer under the right spout with the right flour and the right paperwork going to the right customer. And then that truck, with that RFID technology, we know when it needs to be washed.
The mill can process enough flour in one day to fill 60 trucks or 15 rail cars. ADM sells to bakeries and other customers who buy in bulk quantities. Moving on now into local events, don't forget that the Hamel Co-op will be holding their annual Customer Appreciation Day event. Purina is also celebrating with their 125th anniversary. You can stop by the Hamel Co-op at 121 Old Route 66 in Hamel today, tomorrow, and Saturday during regular store hours to enjoy savings and refreshments. And you can register for prizes, including a gift certificate and an iRobot Roomba. Tomorrow, Friday, a Purina sales specialist will be in store for discussion, and you can schedule a one-on-one appointment by calling the Hamel Co-op at 618-633-2215. And coming up this weekend on Saturday, the Montgomery County 4-H will be holding a 4-H shooting sports event, along with archery and air rifles. That will be held on Sunday from 1:30 until 3 in the afternoon at the 4-H Park in Butler. Also, don't forget that tomorrow, Friday, is your last chance to RSVP for the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District's Conservation Tour. That will be held on Thursday, the 26th, at the U of I Extension Office in Hillsboro. To RSVP for the event, you can call the County Soil and Water Conservation District office at 532-3361, extension 3. The presentations for the day will be given by Abigail Peterson and David Kleinschmidt. And that just about wraps it up for this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email it to us at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So for this Thursday morning, September 19th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.